Today's reading is Luke 4, 21 to 30. Then he began to say to them, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, Is not this Joseph's son? He said to them, Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, Doctor, cure yourself, and you will say, Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Would you please pray with me? Oh, glorious God, we give you thanks for this day and this opportunity for us to gather here. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord, for you are our rock, our redeemer, our creator, and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So many of us have memories of the towns of our childhood. Some of us were born and raised in the same town. Others have been born in one and raised in another. Whichever the case, the question I want to ask this morning is, did you ever leave for a reason, whatever the reason may be, only to return at some later time in your life? Maybe you entered the military or went off to college or off to graduate school. Maybe you took a job and started a company, or you worked long and hard to build a company up. And then finally, one day, you decide to return home. What was it like? What was it like returning to the town of your youth? Once you had been out in the world and saw what this big world was like. Was it like the title of our sermon this morning, Returning to Nazareth for the First Time? Was there something different about it? This week we're continuing where we left off last week in Luke's Gospel. And Jesus had left the carpenter shop of his hometown a few months before and had quickly gotten quite a reputation as a teacher, a healer, and a worker of wonders. And everyone in Galilee was talking about him. So when he came back to Nazareth for the first time, the people who'd known him as he was growing up were eager to see what he was like, what he could do, and wanted to hear what he had to say. They got their chance in the town synagogue the first Sabbath day after he returned. We're glad to hear about all these great things Jesus is doing, the people said of Nazareth, but we want to be sure that he's doing them for us. When the time came for the reading of the scripture, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Jesus. He found... He found the passage that spoke of the great things that God was doing. It told of how God would send His Spirit upon someone to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom for the oppressed. It was the time of the year of the Lord's favor. I can just hear the people, "Oh, what a wonderful text. One of my favorites," somebody might have said. But reading scriptures isn't hard. Let's hear what kind of sermon the hometown boy is going to give us. Jesus rolled up the scroll and looked at them and said, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I'm sure there's a guy somewhere in there that said, "Hey, I like this sermon. It's nice and short." And probably somebody said, "Okay, time to go for the Krispy Kremes. Let's head downstairs." But Jesus' sermon was as much to say, "I am the one that God has anointed. He's anointed me with the Spirit. I am proclaiming good news to the poor, giving sight to the blind, and doing all those great things that the prophet Isaiah talked about." The people in the synagogue were amazed at these gracious words. Oh, there would have been some doubts. After all, you know, this is Joe's boy, the little kid that was building chairs in the carpenter shop. Can he really be the one who's going to fulfill these prophecies? It did sound great. If you had a hometown boy come back here and say all those things, it would probably make your heart full. Jesus was saying what he had read wasn't just a writing of an ancient prophet, but something that was going to happen here and now. Remember, I talked last week about today. Here and now, today, this is going to happen. And the people wanted to see it happen, not someplace else, but right here in Nazareth. Jesus understood that. And he could have performed one of those surprising cures that they'd heard about. Word had already spread about him. Instead, he told the people of Nazareth it wasn't all about them. "Remember some of our history that we read about in the prophets," he told them. Back during the terrible famine in Elijah's day, God didn't first tell the prophet to come to somebody in Israel, but sent them to a Canaanite woman in her household in Sidon. And later, it wasn't a leper in Israel whom the prophet Elijah healed, but Naaman, the Syrian. Think about this for a moment. Elijah healed a Canaanite. One of the people Israel historically was supposed to conduct holy war against. And Naaman, not just a Syrian, but he was the captain of the Syrian army, the oppressors that invaded Israel and raided their territory. If Jesus had said, "I'm taking my talents to Jericho," then the Nazarenes probably would have said, "Okay, you can go to Jericho and do your thing." And they might have been unhappy, but at least the people in that city were Jews. But he healed a Syrian. He healed a Canaanite. Enough to send the people of Nazareth over the edge. Some may have even surmised that Jesus even cared about the cursed Romans who were currently the ruler of their land. And as to being sent over the edge, they wanted to push Jesus off the edge of a cliff. But that wasn't how he was going to die. It's not surprising that the people of Nazareth had this kind of attitude for foreigners. After all, they knew themselves to be God's chosen people. Long ago, when God called their ancestor Abram to leave his native country and come to Canaan, God promised to make him a descendant to great nations and to give them that land. Those promises were remembered and repeated in the Hebrew scriptures, in the stories that the Hebrew people told before the scriptures were written down, all knowing that they were God's chosen people. They expected God to look out after them, to do good things for them. The blind who would be given sight and the captives who would be set free, they should be Israelites. It was easy for the chosen people to forget that God didn't choose them for their benefit. But those promises that God made to Abraham in the beginning included, "In you all families of the earth shall be blessed." And later, God would tell his servant Israel, "I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." That's how Jesus, the man of Israel, saw himself. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He's the one through whom God's promises to all the people of the world will be fulfilled. Things didn't go well for Jesus that day on that hometown visit. But what Jesus said there is good news for us and for every one of God's people. God's forgiveness, acceptance, an offer of community is not just for Israel. It is for all of us. It points towards that heavenly scene in the book of Revelation where a great multitude that no one could count will gather from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. The kingdom of God is intended for you and for me and for everyone, regardless of color, language, or anything else. And we are not to be merely passive members of that kingdom. The one who said that he was the light of the world also told his disciples, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We are given the honor of being the hands and feet and mouth of God. The hands and feet and mouth that God uses to bring about his reign. This positive message, however, needs to be accompanied by a warning. Christians have sometimes thought of themselves as now being God's chosen people with the same kind of narrowness of mind that the people of Nazareth displayed. The idea that the people of Israel are not God's people any longer has been the source of numerous evils throughout the centuries. I'm not going to name them here, but you know what I'm talking about. And from the beginning of the European settlements on this continent, the idea that America is the new promised land has been a source of problems. It often means that the people originally living here could be treated in a way that the Israelites were treated. And that the way the Israelites treated the people of Canaan in the Old Testament. And that makes it bad news for the First Nations people, the Native Americans. And the idea that this nation has been more blessed by God and maybe deserves to be blessed more than any other nation has resulted in an American civil religion that has little to do with Christianity. If you don't know what I mean when I say American civil religion, it is the blending of general religious values, the practices, the rites, and the symbols of those of a particular nation or political unit. That is simply a reminder and a warning that we are not the stars of the show, not as individuals, not as a nation, and not as a religious tradition. It is not about us. The star of the show is the Son of God, who came to be with us, who came to walk among us, who in the power of the Spirit brought the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed. It is Jesus who lived and died and rose again to overcome the separation of sinners from God and the division among members of the human family. He is the light of the world, who graciously invites us to reflect His light, to be those whom God works and moves creation towards the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Let us hear that and cooperate with God's intentions for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.